Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me opportunity once again to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. Wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, for another blessed day and opportunity you've given us to go into the Word of God. Father, we ask today, Lord God, that your Spirit would accompany us and release unto our hearts the understanding we need concerning your Word. We pray that the perfect will of God will be revealed unto us, unto Christianity, about the way that you desire your people to go. And Lord God, show them that you are doing the work in these last days through the sending of the Elijah. And Lord God, that you're bringing one fold together in the name of Jesus. So Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you and glorify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. Amen. I want to open up with reading once again a verse from one of the messages of the angel of the Lord that he had brought from Jesus Christ. And this message is called the second message that the Lord sent March the 4th, 1927. And I want to read from one of these verses in this message that the Lord had his angel to speak and to tell unto God's people. And the word of the Lord said, the angel said, I am the man sent from God, and my name is John. I am the messenger to prepare the way. I am come that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things shall be established. When I was here to see you the last time, I did not give you my name, but what I told you about the church is true. And much more shall be revealed to you from time to time. Come with me, and I will show you a vision. Now, I have been going over with you, by the grace of God, concerning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel called the Elijah, which is for to come. He is also known by his birth name as the John the Baptist. But in this day and time, not only John the Baptist, but the resurrected John the Baptist, that he has been resurrected. We saw this many series ago in the Word of God that he has been resurrected from the grave. Amen. His body, his spirit and body reunited in the resurrection. And so we have been talking about in this class, in this part of the series, where I just read to you this verse where this angel, the resurrected John the Baptist, said he is also the messenger to prepare the way. That not only he's the Elijah, but he is the messenger to prepare the way. And I had, at the beginning of this series, or you could say the series before the beginning of this series, I gave you five witnesses who can corroborate that John the Baptist indeed is the messenger to prepare the way. And what I've been doing is that I have been going back into each one of the witnesses a little bit more deeper than just naming them. And so tonight we are on the fifth and final witness, who will witness that John is the messenger to prepare the way. And we're going to go into Luke chapter 1 to look at this fifth witness. And this fifth witness is the earthly father of John the Baptist, whose name is Zechariah. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 57 to verse 80. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 to verse 80. Glory be to God. Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to verse 80. As we look at the fifth witness, who would testify that John indeed is the messenger to prepare the way. Luke chapter 1, verse 67 says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him and all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Glory be to God. We notice here in verse 67, and the word shows us that the Holy Ghost had given Zacharias a word to speak that was already written by Malachi in his connection in dealing with God, or what God had given him. In other words, to say this, one of the reasons why we have the written words, and we have the written word so we can learn about the living word. That's true. But another one of the reasons why we have the written word is that, and I need you to hear this, Jesus knows that as long as the devil is still loose, that he's not bound, and that the flesh is still in its fallen state, that there will be some imitators. I want you to think about that for a minute, because some of you may say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm going to repeat it again. One of the reasons why we have the written word, okay? One of the reasons why we have the written word is because Jesus knows that as long as the devil is still loose, that he is not bound yet, and that the flesh of man is still in his fallen state, there will be imitators. Hallelujah. Now you may say, well, Brother Nate, what do you mean by that? Well, there are some who does a great job of imitating, like the Spirit of God is on them, and get this, they will even say some things, hallelujah, as if it is given to them by the Holy Spirit, but contradicts what's already written. Because think about it. You know, there may be something out there saying, hey, Why do we have the written word? If we got the Holy Ghost, what we need the written word for? Just follow the Holy Ghost. Well, many times we as people miss it. I don't know about you all, but sometimes I had thought that, quote, the Holy Ghost said something to me, but come to find out it wasn't him. You know, hallelujah. And it keeps you also from being in deception. And you got many people out there who love to imitate like they're being used by the Holy Ghost, and they're beginning to say some things that is not of God. For example, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and remember when Paul, remember a man put in a chapter in verses, but in verse 1, he says, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant, okay? And no one speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, why do you say that? Well, from one thing I understand on the research, I understand one time that during that time in the church, there were those who were getting up and they were saying some things that was not of God, but they claimed to be given to them by the Holy Ghost. They was operating under the wrong spirit, but they was claiming it that it was the Lord. And apparently in what way that Paul wrote that, they had been saying some things against Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. For example, if you came across someone that appeared to you like the Holy Ghost is using them, and they says, thus says the Lord, Jesus was always a prophet and he was never Lord and all that. Well, you got the written word that shows that Jesus is God incarnated in the flesh. So you know what that was given would not be to you of God. You understand that? And see, you have some people, because the Holy Ghost may have used them at one point, they think that, I don't need the Bible, or I don't need the Word of the Lord, regular Nephite, any of the books of the Lord. I don't need it. I got the Holy Ghost. You're missing it. And this is why you got some people that won't study the Word, because they think, well, I can depend on the Spirit. Well, we're supposed to depend on the Spirit, but the Spirit and the Word are one. Because you have to understand that everything that comes to you is not necessarily from God. And if you take it that way, oh my goodness, you're going to be in a world of trouble. Everything that's going to be sent to you is not going to be of God. Everything that's going to be said to you, even when it is at a point where the person saying it may be telling you God gave it to him. Everything that's going to be said to you is not going to be of God. Now, in verse 67, tells it that Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 76, he said, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. You shall go before the face of the Lord. Thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. What is he doing? Well, he's just confirming what Malachi said that, you know, God gave him. The Lord said that, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And see, people miss out on this because, like I said, and let me get more specific, people. Let me get more specific. There are those, you know, who claim to be of the Lord miss out on this because when it comes to studying the word, like I said, they think because God may have used them at one point, the Spirit of God used them, gave them a word to speak or something, they think that it's not important to study the word. But see, people, we've been given the Spirit and the Word of God. You got to understand that if we believe that God is a God of purpose and that he doesn't do nothing in vain, then you would know he did not have this written word written for nothing. Okay? There was a purpose and God moving upon the men of old and having them to write the accounts and dealings that God had dealt with his people. There was a reason, and one of the reasons is what? Because that you may not be deceived. Amen. And long as the devil is out there loose, because remember, Satan is a gray imp imitator. He likes to imitate because he's not real. And he would use people that like to do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Zechariah says in verse 76, "And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Now, Zechariah gave, the Holy Ghost, rather, gave to Zechariah that John was to go before who? The face of the Lord, the face of the Lord. Well, the original Greek word for the word face here is prosopon. Prosopon. Prosopon means the front as being toward view, or in other words, that is the countenance. We know that's the face, the aspect, the appearance, the surface, by implicating presence. So he was to go before the appearance or presence of the Lord. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, ask yourself this question. How many times did Jesus supposed to make his appearance? Where's two? How many times has he done it? One already. So he's to do it again. So you can see that this verse, verse 76, has a twofold application. It refers to a first and second coming. Okay? Hallelujah. For example, verse 76, he said, "And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Now, if you were to go back and look at Malachi 3:1, the word way in that verse is spelled W-A-Y, okay? But the word way here in this verse, verse 76, is spelled with an S. Now, for those of you who live in America whose primary language is English, you know that there are letters that I get add to a word to signify more than one, okay? It can be I-E-S, and it can be the word E-S, or it can be simply the word S, as here in this verse, okay? Hallelujah. So that brings up something interesting. Why is it in Malachi 3:1, the word way is spelled W-A-Y, with no S? But here in Luke 1:76, when it's talking about the same function that John is to do, it says ways with an S, okay? We must understand that this word that was spoken here in Luke 1:76, this word was spoken when John was first born. Okay, this word was spoken before John was grown and began his ministry. Okay, hallelujah. Understand this. Plus, the word ways here is also connected to Christ's comings. Okay, because remember, he said to go before the face of the Lord, the appearance or the presence of the Lord. And he is to make an appearance or presence, what? He done it once, so he is to make it one more time, okay? And so John is to prepare the way of the Lord before Christ's comings. Prepare his ways before Christ's coming, okay? See, when Christ first came, he came as the Lamb, okay? Hallelujah. He came to be as the Lamb. He came to be the sacrifice, all right? And when John first came ahead of him, when he came preaching in the wilderness, remember, in John chapter 1, when Jesus came up to the baptism, remember what John said. He said, behold, the Lamb of God. Okay? So he had to prepare the way that the word of Christ and Christ being the Lamb will have place in the hearts of the people. Hallelujah. And how did he do that? Well, he had to preach the words. See, this is how at the same time he went to get a people prepared. See, he had to preach the word. So he had to prepare the way that the Lord was going to come as the Lamb to have place in the hearts of the people. Okay? And that's why he introduced them to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, since he had to prepare his ways, that's also to Christ's second coming. But remember, as Malachi 3 showed us, that in Christ's return, he is not coming back as the Lamb. Even though he'll always be known as the Lamb, but he's not coming back to take that role. He's coming back as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. So, once again, in this day and time, John, as a resurrected being, has to prepare the way that Christ is coming as the King of kings and Lord of lords to have place in the hearts of the people. Hallelujah. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. See, there are some people that hadn't even received them, just like some of the Jews over there, who still practicing the old law, sacrificing animals. All the Jews, all of them didn't receive Christ as the Lamb. They crucified the Savior. Amen. And you want to hear something else? Now, that was God's ancient covenant people. All of his ancient covenant people did not receive him as the Lamb. Well, here's the thing that you need to know about today. All his people that's supposed to be of the children of Abraham by faith, in other words, who may not even biologically be of the house of Israel, but born again by the Spirit, all of them is not going to receive him as King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, I just took a pause for a minute because I'm letting that sink in. Okay? Hallelujah. If you think that everybody that said, Lord, Lord, is going to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, then you are very naive. Now, what is the will of God? Well, he told us through Peter, in the book of Peter, that he would, that no man would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So it's the will of God that everybody be saved, okay? So if you praying by Cousin Charlie, who never been saved or drunken and doing everything, one thing you can rest assured that you don't have to ask God. You don't have to ask him, Lord, do you want him to be saved or what, you know, you ain't got to ask God that question. Because the word already tells us he does. But just because God wants that doesn't mean that everybody else going to want it too. Okay? You get that? Because remember, even though Christians may just say, still their free moral agency is not taken from them. Okay. And even though God desired for that sinner man to get saved and become a Christian, God is not going to make him get saved. You get that? Because, see, some of our loved ones, you know, We try to make them get saved. We bug them and get on their nerves. God had to tell you, and may have been at some point been telling you, you weren't listening, had to tell you, said stop. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You get what I'm saying? And that's what John is doing in this day and time, but he's doing it as a resurrected being. Okay? Because you have some Christians think that when John was beheaded, that was the end of his work. But see, what happens is, you didn't read the full plan of God concerning, for example, just concerning John alone. Glory to God. If you would have read the overall plan of God for the purpose he had for John, then you would be able to see that him coming in the flesh was just part of it. And you would be able to see that when he came in the flesh, he didn't really fulfill all the things that were said about him. So that would tell you right there, he has to be coming a second time. Amen. Because remember, when John first came, he came to what? Just Israel. Amen. But we're told concerning the end time and his second coming, his word is to go to all nations. Okay? Not just some, all nations. So it ain't just him coming back to just Israel again, but he's coming to all nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we're told here in Luke chapter 1. It said, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Now, there are two things that John had to give in order to prepare the way. Now, in verse 77, we're told that he had to give knowledge. And in verse 79, he had to give light. Hallelujah. Now, understand, people, if this was in vain. Now we got to look at it. First of all, we got to look at the overall picture. God, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now we know that he's not a vain God, and he doesn't have you doing stuff that makes no sense. Now, to your carnal mind, it might seem like it makes no sense. You know, just like some Christians say, we don't need another forerunner. When we tell them about Jesus sending the messenger to prepare the way, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist in this day and time, some say, well, we don't need another forerunner. Well, Jesus apparently don't agree with you. And see, you looking from one aspect like, okay, John came the first time. He didn't did his job. He ain't got to do nothing else. But once again, you didn't read everything that Christ had to say concerning John. Or if you have read a lot of stuff, you have not gotten the understanding through the Spirit of God concerning what Christ was saying in that matter. And I'm here to tell you, any of us could miss it, okay? As I said and testified to you guys before, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost giving me witness and revelation concerning the work of John, it's some things in here that I see I could have very easily missed it too. I could have said, nah, he ain't sending no message, you know. But the Lord witnessed to me that this is true. And so in his preparation of preparing the way, we're told here of two things that he had to give. He had to give knowledge, and he had to give light, okay? Now, he is to give knowledge. which is the Greek word for gnosis. And the word gnosis in Greek means knowing, the act of knowing, that is by implicating knowledge. Now, when you implicate or involve in knowledge, from Webster, the word knowledge, one of the definitions of the word knowledge means the fact or condition of being aware of something. Okay? Hallelujah. See, when John first came before Christ and giving them the word, he caused them to be aware of their sins. Remember what the Bible said, that he baptized them in Jordan. They were what? Confessing their sins. He made them aware of their sins. He gave them knowledge. How did he get it? He got it from God. And the word that God gave him to tell the people made them aware of their sin. Okay? Hallelujah. Made them aware to a point that they will repent and their sins will be washed away. Remission. Forgiven. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, God will do that. You know, how many of you ever been, say, studying the word, and the Holy Ghost had you center on a certain verse, and when you really grasp it, that verse was showing you something you had been doing, and you come to look in the word and find out that wasn't right, and you go, oh, my God. Well, what happened? The Holy Ghost gave you knowledge of something you were doing, causing you to be aware of that was a sin, okay? Well, see, that's what John did the first time he came, okay? Hallelujah. And guess what? He's doing it again. But especially to those who call themselves believers. Causing them to become aware of their sins and helping us all to receive Jesus as what? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know why? For he is king over one kingdom. Uh-oh. Hallelujah. King over one kingdom. And his people in that one kingdom is what? Onefold. You get that? Not a bunch of folds. Onefold, okay? And he's bringing, and he's giving that knowledge to the people, okay? It also says in what, verse 79, that he is also what? To give light. The original Greek word for the word light means to shine upon, that is, become literally visible or figuratively known. Let me read that again. The word light in the Greek means to shine upon, that is, become literally visible or figuratively known. Okay? You get that? People need to see and know the right way of the Lord. You get that? Because there are many ways given by man. Because he said, verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. Well, what is one of the purposes of light given? To help someone see. Okay? Amen. That's one of the purposes of light, to help you see. And see, he has to give light. Now, if the people already had the light, it wouldn't be needed of him to give the light. We got to see that. Because, like I said, we're so quick to talk about, well, we don't need another forerunner. We don't need this and that. We got all we need. Well, if Christ agreed with you, then there would be no need of sending his angel messenger. But apparently something is missing for him to send him. Do you get what I'm saying? And he is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Say he is to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now we know that's in the way of death. Being on the wrong road. Okay. Hallelujah. Being on the wrong road. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To Jesus. Amen. And see, the people need to see and know the right way of the Lord. Once again, there's many ways given by man. But I also want you to see something else in this verse. Verse 79 said, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, okay, to guide our feet into the way of peace, okay? Now you say, well, brother, what is it that you want us to see in this verse? Well, these verses right here, even though you may look at it and say, this don't straightway tell you this, but it also, it really informs you to who is going to receive this knowledge and light. You say, well, what is that? Well, remember in Romans chapter 8, there's something very important here. And I want to read Romans chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 5 and 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Now, the word of God said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So we're told in Luke 1 that he is to give light to them that sit in darkness and what? And in the shadow of death. And to guide our feet into the way of peace. Well, who's going to be able to be guided into the way of peace? It's the spiritually minded according to Romans 8. Okay? The spiritually minded. Those who are after the things of the spirit is going to receive the light. They're going to come out of darkness and away from the what? Of the shadow of death. But see, those that are after the things of the flesh, see, part of our problem in Christianity, why we so separated, is the flesh. Literally, is the flesh. There are people who mind the things of the flesh. They obey the flesh, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And see, there are people, hallelujah, who is sitting, and here he said, to give light to them that sit in darkness. And darkness is just, is not only just dealing with sin, but it's also dealing with ignorance. Okay? There are people sitting in ignorance concerning the perfect will of God. Amen. Concerning God's people here on this earth. Because they think, and many of them been led to think, that the way that Christianity is now, that God accepts it. Amen. People, trust me, I'm not being far-fetched with what I'm saying this. Okay? Big part of Christianity, and notice I said a big part, I didn't say every single Christian. There's a difference. But a big part of Christianity thinks that, hey, God is acceptable or accepted the way we're set up now. Amen. They think that, hey, God's okay with it. You know, we all serving the same God. And don't get me wrong, there are some that God have used in a great way. And they think this way. They just say, hey, you know, God's using us, blah, 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 and, you know, we okay. And so when you talk to them about God's bringing his people to one fold, some of them are so quick to reject. Amen. They're very quick to reject. So you tell them, oh, well, you know, God used me. See, that's why we got to be very careful about being so quick to reject. Now, everything that comes, like I told you, is not from God. But some of us got a hasty spirit when it comes to rejection. I mean, we quick draw McGraw. And somebody comes and says, we shoot it down already. Amen. And especially if it's something we never heard before. Well, I would think, unless it is something audacious, I would think if I never heard it before, at least I was, you know, look it up. Because, glory to God, just because you get something that you never heard before doesn't mean that it is dead wrong all the time, okay? This is where your investigation, and don't get me wrong, some things you find out that you never heard before is off the wall. But then there are other things you never heard before you're going to find out, man, there's really some truth to that. You know, how many of y'all can testify that? Have you ever been told, and it got to deal with anything like spiritual things. It can be natural things. Has somebody ever told you about something in particular? Let's say you knew a little on it, and they told you something you never heard before, and you just instantly rejected. Oh, man, that ain't going to be, that ain't going to make it. And then you found out later on it made it. What you say? You like, man, I didn't think it was going to make it. I never heard him mention that thing before. I didn't think such a thing as this. Well, see, that's the thing. Same thing dealing with things, you know, of God and things in the spirit, okay? I see, I know that there are some that, in telling this message, they think that this guy is just off his rockers. He coming, talking about some stuff about God giving him, you know, amen. But this is not a way where you know, as they said, for the faint-hearted. And I'm not trying to be braggadocious on myself, because like I told you all before, if the Lord had never witnessed to me strongly that this work was true, all the stuff that I've seen, I mean, hey, we've had problems in the church I belong to, okay? So it's not like we've never had problems. We've had problems. And if I had not known this work is true, I would have said adios a long time ago. But I knew this work was true. Amen. I knew it was true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, this fifth witness, the earthly father of John the Baptist, named Zacharias, he spoke this while being filled with the Spirit of God. Because remember, if you read early in the first chapter, when the angel of the Lord came to him and revealed to him part of the plan of God concerning this child that they would have, and showing you how great a work this child would have, because God didn't even let them name the child, and told what all the child going to do and everything, the first thing Zechariah said, we're old in years. How is this going to be? And because he didn't believe, he was struck dumb. Okay, so when Elizabeth gave birth to John, now when they, people are like, well, what do you name him? And then his mouth flew open and he told him. And then he was being filled with the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for his word, his written word. Amen. Glory be to God. He is worthy to be praised and be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord say the same. I will be on tomorrow night once again. I've done this broadcast early today. This is a 6:30 broadcast. But I thank God for this golden opportunity that he has given me to do this. Glory be to God. So thank the Lord for Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, he is the messenger to prepare the way. The messenger to prepare the way. Glory be to God. So I thank God for all you that have been listening to the broadcast. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.